The story of Jonah. When I say Jonah, I wonder what comes to your mind.
The whale.
The whale, right? I'm sure 99% of you would think of the whale and Jonah, and though the scripture does not talk about the whale, calls it the whale, say it's a big fish. Big fish. Well, we termed it whale. Remember, the whale, the big fish, is only mentioned in 3 verses. The rest of the story, the 48 verses in that whole book, talks about other things. And I hope our focus is not on the whale this morning. I'd like to take us more beyond the whale and understand what God is calling Jonah and Jonah's part, how he is responding to God's call in his life. I'd like to give you a little background of the story. The children of Israel have been in captivity prior to what this took place, captivity in Babylon. And they have been released, and they've gone back home. And that whole cry to the Lord for freedom is seen in Psalm 137. If you have your scriptures, Bibles, you may want to look at it. Psalm 137, the psalmist is writing about this exile. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion. Zion is Jerusalem. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my tongue cleave on the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest. And this is Psalm 137, verses 1 through 6. Now, putting it in perspective, the children of Israel did not care for Babylonians. I mean, how would you feel being, captive and you finally got your freedom? You still have grudges and bad feelings about the captor. Nineveh was the capital of Babylonia, Babylon. Babylon is today's Iraq. And Nineveh is the current location of Baghdad. So you could kind of put that in perspective. Iraq, and here is Baghdad, okay? And the city is pretty big. The scripture says 120,000 people lived in Nineveh. It's about half the size of Buffalo, maybe. Took 3 days to walk across the city limits. It was a great city. And God calls Jonah. God calls Jonah to go and be his messenger. And you know the story, what happens, okay? The whale and all, or the big fish and all. And here is Jonah sitting now on the beach brooding. He has been spewed out of the fish. The word of the Lord comes to him again the second time. That's where scripture begins. The Lord says, get up and go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim the message that I tell you. After spending 3 days in the belly of the whale, Jonah decides this time he better do what God is saying. He does not want to go, but God is telling him to go and speak this out. But his heart wasn't in it, was it? You can tell when someone's heart really isn't in the task before them. As Jonah started toward Nineveh, he was dragging his feet. He was walking as slow as he could, as if to say, yeah, I'll go, but I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. Have you been there? You've been there. I mean, sometimes, you know, I've seen parents kind of dragging kids to school and a little, when they're a little, trying to get them to school or jobs, I don't know. I won't get into it, but you don't want to go. You don't want to go, and you try to get away, but that didn't work. And even though you had that experience, you know, thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish, spewed out, boy, what else do you need? Jonah is still not thrilled. Jonah's problem was he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Just the opposite of the disciples of Jesus, isn't it? We just talked about Philip last week. Philip. Remember Philip. You know, Philip was called, and then later on we saw in Acts how Philip, the angel, speaks to Philip and takes him to this place where he catches up with the eunuch, the man from Ethiopia, and is able to talk and convert him, bring him to the Lord. Jesus then was baptized. Wow. And look what Jonah is doing. God's telling him the same thing. Go and speak to these people. And Jonah is reluctant. And when I compare these two men, I want you to pause for a moment and think about yourself. Think about decisions that you have to make. Decisions that you make. As God calls you, yes, it is so hard to discern what God wants or what God is saying to you, but there is that prompting of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. How do we respond to that call? Just pause and look at Jonah. Okay, he responds the way we all do. And then there, you know, he gets thrown out of the boat and the whole nine yards with that. His life is in such a turmoil. He's sitting on that beach after being spewed out and still contemplating, still doesn't want to answer God's call in his life. You know, that wrestling that's going on as you would see with Philip. I mean, there is a peacefulness, isn't it? There is a peacefulness when God told Philip and the angel said, he responded, and there he was. But God gives Jonah a second chance, doesn't he? God wanted Jonah to go preach to the people of Nineveh, and Jonah did not want to go. I understand. God told me go this way. I was like, no, I've done this. And I'm sure you have too. And then we battle with this inner turmoil. Then finally when we come to grips and we come to accepting the call and knowing this is God's perfect will, then you know God's peace just fills your heart. And God says to Jonah, even though he was so not totally in it, 100%, Jonah goes and casually mentions what God wants them to do. You know, God says, go and, you know, preach, but Jonah's like, oh, guys, repent, blah, 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 blah. Surprising. These folks If I were in the situation, I would have said, come on, this guy, I mean, we all know Jonah. Oh, remember 50 years ago, our nation captured these peasants. And we, you know, had them as our slaves. And now what is he talking about? I mean, we would have had lots of comments. But the king and the people of that nation hear that words that Jonah was speaking, and they came together. They wore sackcloth. They wanted to fast and pray and repent of their sins. You know, it was not Jonah's doing. It was God doing, isn't it? But Jonah was just a mouthpiece. God was using Jonah. God just wanted Jonah to just go. And God probably said, I will do the rest. You just go. You just go and say these words. I will do the rest. You know, knowing God's will was not the problem. It never is. Doing God's will is the problem, isn't it? Doing what God wants us to do. From reading the story of Jonah, we might also conclude that praying and the repentance changes God's mind. Changes God's mind. Nineveh repented and God decided not to destroy that city. You know, we repent and God changes his attitude towards us. Well, you can debate on this, you know, does God change his mind or not? All the debate goes on, but, you know, in faith we understand that it is not God's mind that needs changing, but it is the people's heart changed. I mean, God probably knew that they were going to repent. But it is the heart of the people. They had a transformation. They had a transformation in their lives. They came together. They repented. They fasted and prayed. Even the animals, scripture says, even the livestock. They fasted and prayed. And God heard their cry. God heard their request. In John 3:17, about Jesus' purpose for coming into this world. For the Son came into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him, that is through Jesus, might be saved. You know, God's plan is not to destroy us, but to save us, to bring us into that fellowship with him. So you see this happening. You see this happening. How God knew already and how God was hoping that Jonah would just respond. Jonah would just respond and be there. Be his hands, be his feet to convey this message. Also, the story of Jonah is saying to us how we respond to God's call in our lives. How do you respond to God's call? Where is the Nineveh God has called you to enter? Is it scary? All we have to do is say, okay, Lord, because you know that Jonah didn't say much, especially being reluctant, and all that turmoil in his life to know what is right, know God's will and how to respond. But finally, when he responds, God is able to use, God is able to bring that whole city to himself. They repented and prayed and changed their ways. The Lord was able to work through them. The story is about spiritual humility, isn't it? Jonah learned it the hard way. Jesus called it blessed in Matthew 5:3. And we would be pleased with more spiritual humility. You know, praying, fasting, coming on our knees and asking the Lord, Lord, direct us, guide us, lead us. Be the light to our paths. Finally, the story says something more important to all of us. As the bulletin cover says, you know, God gives Jonah a second chance. God gives us a second chance. He gives us a second chance. Are we willing? Are we willing to accept his call in our lives and take that step of faith, not knowing how it's all going to evolve or how it's going to go through, but taking that step, saying, okay, Lord, I surrender. I humble myself and I give myself to you. Use me and make me after your will. And God takes that acceptance. One person's obedience, a whole nation is repenting and turns towards the Lord. My friends, this morning, if God has been knocking at your door, you know, just to open your hearts, to give it to the Lord Jesus, and to find out how he will lead you, he would guide you, as opposed to keeping that door shut and trying to do it our way, going away from him. Or if you already know the Lord, and if you're struggling with God's call, ministry, whatever that he has placed before you, and saying, nope, I don't have time, I can't do that, I'm not qualified. If you've been struggling with that, just let go and let God take hold of you, hold of your life, hold of your calling, and just give it up to him. He promises strength. He promises his Holy Spirit to help you, equip you. I mean, he's the one who equips us. So why are we worried? All we need to do is the willingness, the willing heart. I mean, just Jonah didn't even give his 100%. He did not even give his 100%. He just went so reluctantly, but still God took that and used it. So this morning, God is willing to take us and use us for his glory, to touch other people's lives. Like I said, just could you understand one person saying yes opens up such a wide door. In last week's gospel lesson, you know, Philip opening up himself, the Ethiopian probably went to Ethiopia and shared the gospel. And the whole nation, even the whole continent of Africa, to hear the gospel of Jesus. So this morning, ask yourselves, as the Holy Spirit prompts you, how are you going to respond to the Lord's call in your life? Gracious Lord, we come to you, Lord. We humble ourselves. We come to you to ask for forgiveness Lord, you've been prompting us, you've been prodding, trying to open doors that we will see and enter to bless others in your name. Lord, sometimes even reluctantly, just like Jonah, on the second round, did it. What a blessing he was to that nation who repented from their evil ways and turned their hearts towards you. And Lord, if you are calling us, ministry within the church, ministry outside the church, ministry to our neighbors, to take leadership, help us, O Lord, help us to answer your call in our lives. And Lord, we know when we answer those calls in our lives how peaceful it becomes, knowing that you hold our future and all you need is us, even though we are empty. Lord, you fill us with your power and help us take that next step. So bless us, Lord. Bless us as a church as we give ourselves to you and receive that power that you have promised for the church of Jesus Christ to be filled with your Holy Spirit and to take that next step of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.